a ping pong break at Sabah Idai, Iran's own version of a Google headquarter. This country is going through a tech startup revolution. It's still a black box for the outside world, but Iranian coders and entrepreneurs have been busy. So this is coding? He's doing coding?
Yes.
I'm being shown around by the young CEO, Mohammad Javad Shakuri, a college dropout now running Iran's second biggest internet company.
And so what's going on now here with this? This page is not available. Address unreachable. Okay. Why is that? Why can't you get to YouTube?
Because of the cultural content of YouTube and what our society can tolerate. Twitter was blocked for political reasons, but I think it's going to be available again soon. For now, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube are all blocked in Iran.
Because your foreign minister, Javad Zarif, is very popular on Twitter. Even the supreme leader is on Twitter.
Yes, exactly. We have been wondering about that too.
This is a country of paradoxes between the cautiousness of the public life and the freedoms in private, between the austerity of the Islamic Republic and the richness of Persian history, a daily combat that some of my Iranian friends call the as-if life. It's rare in the Middle East for a society to be more secular than its government. This is where the spirit of the Islamic Revolution is kept alive. Tehran University, the only location for Friday prayers in the Iranian capital, a way to unify the message. All conservatives and hardliners converge here, and for this crowd, the nuclear agreement is only acceptable if the Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei says so.
Some of the women are instructed to make sure they are properly covered as we film them. That was just a few calls of some chanting of death to America and death to Israel, which I recognize because it's quite a famous chant in Farsi, Mark Bar America.
Nuclear deal or not, Mark Bar America, death to America, will continue to echo at Friday prayers here for a while. But hardliner members of parliament also want to have a say about the agreement, just like Republicans in the American Congress. I met Deputy Speaker Hossein Sheikhul Islam.
There are different ideas in the parliament. Some people believe that we should go through line by line. Others believe that we do not do anything to the text. And some people say that we should reject it. There will be a really tough discussion, I believe.
When the deal was reached, there was a lot of celebration on the streets of Tehran. Clearly, some people are happy about this agreement.
No, there wasn't a lot. You see what in Iran means a lot is when our football team wins, okay? There are people who believe that this was a good deal. There are people that they don't believe that.
We're on the trading floor of the Tehran Stock Exchange, and it's quite busy. All the traders are sitting in small booths on their phones, watching their screens. There are 400 companies approximately listed here in the Tehran Stock Exchange, all of them affiliated in some form or another to the state.
The shares here soared by 8% after the nuclear deal was announced, and then they dropped again while everyone waits for the sanctions to be lifted. Iranians have learned a few lessons from the 1979 revolution and the 2009 protests against the government. Change through upheaval is too unpredictable. So the gamble that the country's leadership has taken with this nuclear agreement is to offer hope and the prospect of economic prosperity in exchange for stability. Saeed Laylaz is a former deputy interior minister and an economist who spent a year in jail for criticizing the re-election of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad as president in 2009.
Since past 10 years, especially in Mr. Ahmadinejad's government, they destroyed the country, they destroyed the economy, they looted the Iranian wealth, they destroyed the social structure of the country, and country needs to focus internally, to rebuild the relationship between nation and the government and regime. Because of these factors, the supreme leader needs to make a little quietness in relationship between Iran and the world community, to rethink about our relationship with the Western countries.
Hi, I'm Kim. Nice to meet you, Behnaz. Hello.
Behnaz Shafi'i is 26, an accountant by day and a motocross rider in the afternoon. I met her on a dirt track circuit outside Tehran.
When I was 15, I saw a woman riding a motorbike for the first time. And I thought, why shouldn't I do that? For a while, I had to ride in secret. I was doing it undercover so no one could tell I was a girl. This sport in Iran is totally a man's domain. I want to wipe these thoughts out of their minds. I'm a biker. And I'm going to do this until I can fulfill that dream, to be the world champion.
Behnaz is the face of modern Iran, confronting traditions in her own way. She hopes the end of sanctions will give her and her country the opportunity to go even further.